Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another night of Fandom Access. I am your ever faithful host, AJ. Greetings and salutations. So we got a little bit of change up in our show tonight. We have a Walking Dead, but it's a Fear of the Walking Dead. And look, both my co-hosts are here. Yay.
Hi.
Good evening, ladies.
Hopefully you
guys
can hear me. Okay, I'm trying something different. I'm wearing AirPods on the cell phone. Because we don't have a regular phone line anymore, so hopefully it works.
I can hear you just fine, Jamie.
Okay, cool. Now I don't have to hold the phone. All right, so,
Great. Yeah,
we have Fear the Walking Dead tonight, and we have, I'm going to say, we also have the Winona finale, but next week we'll have Big Sky back, and we'll have Van Helsing, too. So those will be next week.
Great.
All right.
So since you brought up Big Sky, did you guys see have you guys seen the trailer for it?
Yeah.
there was a trailer for it on Hulu that I saw yesterday. Maybe it's going to get better. It looks like a completely different show. They're still hunting Ronald. And they're introducing some new characters to help them hunt for Ronald. But the one thing I noticed about the commercial is the ladies look like a buddy cop show. Like, they're half the shots they showed in the – and we all know previews are misleading. But they're, like, laughing in every shot. They're cracking one-liner jokes, and it looks like they turned it into a buddy cop show. And Ronald –
we'll find out.
I'm not sure if it's a wig to kind of go, stay hidden, or he let his hair grow out, but he looks like he could have been one of the Beatles. So.
Yeah, either way, it's a bad wig. Whether it's the actor's bad wig or the character's bad wig, I don't know, but it's a bad wig.
Huh. I'll have to check it out.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I just happened to see a preview, like, a little bit before this. That's how I knew it was coming on tonight. All right. Well, do you want to start with Fear, then?
Sure. Let's start with Fear the Walking Dead. Shocking, shocking episode.
Yeah. Obviously, I had to watch it early because I talked – well, I did quite a few interviews, which people can find, but I also put up the exclusive with Garrett Dillahunt, who plays John. I interviewed him early, so I had to see it early. And I know you knew I was, like, talking on text when I was watching this. Not that I was fit, but I'm just kind of like – oh shit. And then I'm like, I got to be careful even saying things like, oh my God or something, because I don't want you to think something bad happens. And I said it. And then John was like floating around. I'm like, well, he's okay. I'm like, it's okay. And so I told him, I said, it's okay. Something just happened. And then he died. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't say anything. And it was hard not to say anything. But anyway, so yeah, quite an episode. I mean, the whole first part of it, John wants to commit suicide. And then he finally, I guess, decides to quote-unquote live for Dakota till she shoots him and kills him. I didn't like that he died. I'll say that right away. That kind of pissed me off because him and June were, like, the best characters pretty much, and everybody loved that relationship, and we've said that before. But I think the way that they did things was done really well. I think the end of the episode when she – and we'll talk more about the details. I was just going to say when she finds him and he turns – I think that was, like, really, really powerful and really sad. But I will say, having seen the next episode, that this does kind of propel the story into, like, you know, it will be completely changed. So I do think it's a really good first two episodes, but I am kind of sad that he is no longer there. So what did you think? Let you talk.
So there was a lot to like about this episode. There were some things not to like about this episode. I think that parts of it were very well shot. And I think that part, I mean, Garrett Dillahunt is one of the two of the best actors on the show were highlight. Like, Morgan and Lenny James and Garrett Dillahunt are, but, you know, great actors, both of them.
I agree.
And so, and they did all the heavy lifting. And so that was great. And the girl who plays Dakota is named Chloe Coletti.
Zoe Coletti.
I mean, I think she held her own with those two.
Yeah, I think she was good.
On screen. I'm shocked that John died. I thought about this for a long time and sort of dwelled on it a little bit. I think my feelings about this episode are sort of, at first, I kept thinking of this as like a season premiere because the show's been gone for a year. They got shut down last, they were filming this episode last March when they got shut down.
That was the one thing before we go too farther I wanted to ask you about, because this kind of me, and I don't know if it's that we've been like misled or if they filmed things out of order or what, or they've just outright lied, but it was my understanding from all the other interviews that the whole beginning of the season, the whole reason they were separated was due to COVID, and that's why they did these anthology episodes. So it really surprises me when I'm talking to Garrett and he says, hey, I was filming this, and right before they filmed my death, that's when COVID hit. So I find that strange, because that means that basically the whole first half of the season was not during COVID. At least that's my understanding from what he said. I don't know if they used that as an excuse or what.
So this was the last episode that they filmed. Upcoming episodes will be, I guess, these anthology-style episodes. But this one was in process when they got shut down last March.
Right, but what was the whole first half of the season? That was the anthology. Why was it anthology then? Although I think they said that originally it was the anthology and it just worked out, though. So maybe it just continues.
Maybe it had to be an anthology because they have too many damn characters. I was just telling you they need to kill some people on the show. I didn't mean to kill John.
Yeah, I know. You said that. I'm thinking,
I meant kill Grace. And Luciana. they were in the middle of shooting it, and the way it broke, this should have been the mid-season finale, and it ended up being the mid-season premiere instead, right? And so I think, because I went into it feeling like a premiere, like, I actually texted you. I said, oh, my God, they never kill a major character in the premiere. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, it's supposed to be the finale. I think feelings about it might have been different if I had not had this long one-year break in between. Like, it felt, I don't know, to me, it felt like that investigation of that murder was so long ago, and I can't believe that John's still dwelling on it. And I had to remember, it was really only a couple weeks ago. I didn't really believe that John would be suicidal just because he couldn't solve that murder. And he only broke up with June like 5 minutes ago. Like, he really gave up on her pretty easily, I think, because they've been broken up for what? Days? A couple weeks? They've been broken up for as long as it took for that whole stupid taxidermy episode last year, right?
Yeah, he left because he had the equipment or whatever. He left her there with Jenny after what happened. And she thought he was going to go with her, and he just kind of didn't show up.
He turned off the road.
We talked about that too, I will say, because I asked him about that.
But he went to the cabin where he had told June to meet him, and where June would – I mean, he went to his cabin, right?
Yeah, which June said she wouldn't do. I mean, he knew she wasn't coming, but yeah.
He knew she wasn't coming that day, but would she never come? Like, I just feel like he sat in that cabin for 5 minutes and was like, oh, let me shoot myself now, and didn't really, give her a chance to think about it, didn't really, it just seemed like they're such a super couple, people who are meant to be, and John waited so long for her, remember when she said her name was Laura and all that business, and he was in love with her, mm-hmm. and she wouldn't? Like, it just seemed, to me, it felt like John gave up on her too easily.
Yeah, now I think that June made her decision to stay behind. I mean, I don't know that he had thought she planned to join him at any point. He was supposed to go with her. But the point is, and that's kind of what I questioned him about, is because they took so long just to be together. They're finally married. And then it's like, well, I'm not going to stay here. Bye. You know, and the fact that he left her, I have a hard time reconciling that, I guess.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, and then I also have a hard time. Go ahead. No, you
keep,
go.
Keep going. No, this time you go. You go.
I also had a hard time, so he's not killing himself because he doesn't have a door and he's afraid zombies will come in and eat him. Just go somewhere else and kill yourself. Like, that didn't kind of, that just showed that he didn't really want to kill himself. Like, because that's the lamest, that's the flimsiest of excuses, right? I'll kill myself when I have a door because I don't want the zombies to come in and eat me.
Well, like, see, I took that differently, and this, I think we had discussed this in the text. I thought he said, and again, I maybe misheard it, but I thought he said something like it wasn't to keep them out. I took it to mean that he wanted the door because it was to keep him in. So as a zombie or walker, he didn't get out. Whether that was like he wanted June to never find him and have her go through that, I don't know. But I definitely took it that the door was to keep him in rather than keep them out. That was my interpretation.
I kind of feel like if you're going to shoot yourself in the head, that's not a problem.
Yeah, I know. I thought maybe you meant in case he didn't die all the way. I don't know. I didn't say it made sense. I said that was my interpretation.
Okay, all right.
He also did say it was out of character. I mean, people can read what he said. He did kind of say it was out of character, but that, you know, he's not necessarily – oh, why am I getting – oh, that just popped up because I'm talking to you. Okay. But that, you know, he's not necessarily all there right now. And like that he's, I don't know, I guess because he thought, I took it that he was saying like he kind of thought that Jenny's place was like this place he could get behind. And he was kind of living in this fantasy world, I guess, a little bit. And then kind of realized that that's not what it was, I guess. At least that's how I took what he said. And people can read the interview and you know, take it the way they want because I don't want to, you know, mis-explain what he said. But that's kind of how I felt that he meant it, that, like, he realized that it wasn't what he thought it was, and that he just couldn't deal with it. I don't know. He did seem to think it was out of character, too, and he said he had to find a reason. But, I mean, obviously he's not the writer, so he doesn't make that choice. I mean, he did say that he hope, you know, more and more he does hope that people won't, like, hold it against the show and they'll still watch it because, you know, it's still a good show. But I think, and he probably realizes a lot of people are going to be mad. Again, not putting words in his mouth. I'm interpreting.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I had said that to you before, like, they're kind of were the best characters, in my opinion. It was like they finally had a good relationship, and you wanted it to survive. And we do comment, though, that this show doesn't kill a lot of people, at least not main characters. We were talking about that. So I kind of appreciate that they made a big move. And more than that, the thing that I was most happy with was the fact that they did not let this out. I mean, it was a complete and utter shock.
Yes.
It wasn't on TV the week before saying this is his last episode. So that was really nice to see. I don't know if it got out before it aired, between the time I saw it and it aired.
I didn't see anything about it.
You didn't see anything. But I know that they released them on AMC Plus, you know, like a week ahead or whatever, which I really don't understand. Because they make it like these things are so, like, spoiler, and you got to be careful and everything. And it's like, if you look it up, you can read recaps of exactly what happened. Because I was curious. I looked it up, like, a few days ahead. And it's like, yep, they revealed he died. So why hold all of it? I don't know. I don't understand putting a big show like this out a week ahead. But there you go. But it was nice to be surprised.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and I did think that, you know, losing June is a better reason to kill yourself than being unable to solve the murder of a random person that you never met before. And Morgan did try to tie it back, and they had Lenny James say this line where he says, oh, John, you're doing that thing you told me you used to do when you were a cop. And, you know, I guess it's been alluded to in the past that John gets too attached or whatever.
Obsessed,
I did kind of, what do you think about when Morgan, like, totally, like, throws him under the bus and it's like, Ginny, meet me at John's cabin. It's exactly, like, 3 miles northwest of up the river or whatever. And he's like, ha-ha.
And that was
now you
so horrible.
Right?
But then, and
it,
then
it was
like,
horrible, but it was kind of awesome,
but,
right?
Yeah, I'm like, that is so horrible. He totally can't do what he wants now. But I'm like, but he's trying to save his best friend's life. If that's going to stop it, then he's willing to do it. And he did kind of do the same thing to him, and I got that. The other thing I think that obviously was important, and granted, I know what's going to happen going forward, but there's some conversations with Jenny, too, where he's like that death has to mean something, because obviously he finds out that she just killed that guy. And I mean, I kind of get Dakota. I kind of get that she killed him because she couldn't, you know, it stopped her from getting away from Jenny, but it wasn't like he personally stopped her. He had already told Jenny that she did it. Like, it wasn't like her killing him protected her. And it just, yeah. Picard was like, this is how the world is now. It doesn't matter. And he's like, death has to mean something. So so I definitely took that foreshadowing something.
That's a very Morganish thing to say, like death has to mean something. And I think
that's
it,
what
John
said, not Morgan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, and then it is, you're right. But it is still a Morganish thing. But you're right, John said it.
Yeah,
but
it's a Morganish thing.
And then it's Dakota who says sometimes it doesn't mean anything, which really is sort of the ethos of the show, of both shows, that, like, people die really for no reason very often on these shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you get that Carl, randomly bitten dies. So there was that. It is really sad that he died for basically nothing. And what did you think about, it turns out that Dakota is the murderer. So I didn't see that coming. I think some people saw it coming. I did not see any reason to believe that she had killed that guy. And she killed him for a really lame reason. She's like, oh, he found out how I was getting out. And Ginny, like, stopped me, so I killed him. So she didn't even
kill him. That's what I was saying. Ginny already knew. So he had already told Ginny. Mm-hmm. It's not like she killed him to stop him from telling her. She already knew about it.
Right.
So it didn't benefit her in any way, other than she was a pissy little kid.
Well, it was a vengeful murder, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, it was revenge. It wasn't.
It wasn't like,
it wasn't,
you know,
so
she's
killing. Could get away.
She killed John to hide the secret that she killed the other guy. But she killed the first guy for basically nothing.
Right, because that's what I'm saying. Like, if it had been that he found the way she was escaping, and by killing him, it stopped him from telling Ginny, it wouldn't be a good reason, but I could understand it. But she's like, no, he already told Ginny. So it was definitely revenge and was no point to it. And obviously that kind of started this whole chain of events in the first place. And that's what I said, and regardless of what happened, because I'm not saying what happened, I did feel like him saying that it has to mean something. I felt like definitely it was foreshadowing things for, you know, what's to come.
Possibly,
but I agree. It was kind of senseless. And it's, I don't know, I just think there are a lot of scenes in this episode, like we said, you had said, that were shot really beautifully. Like, I loved how they, after he got shot, when he's, like, swimming in the water, I think the fact that he found his father's picture was neither here nor there. But I liked the way that they, like, shot it. You know, through up, like, from below. I thought that was really cool. And I also thought that just the whole scene of June finding him was also done really well. And it was a slow-mo, but it was, like, so sad. Because at first when she finds him, it's like, you don't know if he's dead. They definitely make you not know till the last second, like, if he's dying or dead. And it's just kind of, like, so heartbreaking when you hear it that he's dead. So, I really thought, when she first shot him, I'm like, no, I'm like upset. And I'm like, well, they're not going to kill him. And I'm like, he's alive. It's okay.
Right.
It's like, isn't he? Maybe.
Yeah.
Nope. Not so much. Cause then he does die. So
I mean, you think he's dead and then you think he's going to live. And then it turns out that he's dead. And I mean, it had to be June that found him. That's the only way they really got a goodbye, you know? And so, it was, I don't know, this idea. So, I mean, I have not trusted Dakota for a long time, but I thought she was more like a spy for Ginny. Now, to find out that really Dakota's major motivating thing is that she wants Ginny dead, and then to find out that I never thought it was she who helps Morgan.
Yeah, I know. You were saying, we need to know this, and I'm thinking, I know this, but I can't tell you this.
I know.
Yeah.
But I can't believe it. She turns out to be the one who, like, and that kind of, like, I don't know. To me, that's another part that doesn't, like, she's like, well, I gave you antibiotics. I stitched you up. I gave you, like.
Yeah, she did a little more than she should
have
been able to.
Yeah. Right? Where did she get all these skills? She's like, I stitched you up. I gave you painkillers. I gave you antibiotics. Like, so, like, she sees Ginny kill him and, I mean, shoot Morgan. And does she just happen to have all this medical supplies on her? Does she go back to Lawton and get it? Which, Lawton's in Oklahoma. Does she go back and get it? But.
Yeah.
And come back.
She even says to him, she heard his message or whatever. But the thing is, she isn't saving him so he can save people. That isn't what, like, she may have heard his message and says that's what she wrote it about, made him think, but that no.
Yeah.
The whole reason she saved him wasn't so he could save other people, but so he could kill Ginny.
Right.
So I think that's kind of interesting that none of that was any of what we thought. But I don't know that it makes total sense. I agree with that.
And the way she says at the end, you need to kill Ginny, that's the only reason you're alive. And I
yeah,
was like,
she's
no,
like, you won't kill me.
That's the reason you saved him. That's not the reason he's alive. That's the reason, he's alive because of, Morgan believes in bigger things in the universe, right? I'm sure Morgan believes,
I guess she thinks
he had
that
a purpose. And,
yeah,
she's like, that, she keeps saying, that's the only reason you're alive. I mean, he's not going to, Morgan, there was a big part of this episode that was like, John was like, I don't care for killing anymore. And John doesn't want to kill anymore, which I'm a little sick of, and I texted you about that because I'm really sick of people on both of these shows suddenly deciding that they're sick. Like, how many characters have gone through this?
I know.
Through it with Morgan,
but he did kill the guy when he needed to. And that was part of why he was upset, too, because he's like, if I had just killed him in the tape store, he never would have grabbed, or whatever, it's not a tape store, but you know what I mean. He never would have grabbed him in the first place. And I also want you, if you haven't yet, people should read the roundtable interview with most of the cast, but the one I'm referring to is the one with Lenny James, because I had asked him about that, like, is he going to have to compromise his morals? And the one thing he said, which I think is interesting, although I did forget that I did forget until I rewatched part of the finale that he did kill that convoy with Ginny's people to get to Dakota. So he was killing people at the end of the season. I forgot that. But I found it interesting that he's saying, just because he kills somebody, that doesn't mean that he's not believing life is precious. He just doesn't want to have to kill people. And that's kind of why he wanted, and he tells John that's why he wants him there. He doesn't want it to be like that. He wants somebody who won't just kill everybody. So.
Yeah, I get it. Not wanting to kill people, you don't have to, but we keep going through this on both of these shows. Like, this is territory we've explored. And so to make it and that's why John is dead and we don't have to watch it for episode after episode of him not wanting to kill. Because that territory is thoroughly explored, I think.
I guess, but he was willing to kill because he killed that guy that lassoed him.
Yeah, but
at that point, he's like, I should have killed him earlier. That's what he realized if he killed him earlier.
They were trying to juxtapose it with, I guess Dakota's attitude, this is what happens now. People just kill. It's just part of life. And, I think we're supposed to be horrified by that. Like John is horrified. Morgan is horrified. We're supposed to be horrified. But I think she's kind of right. That kind of is how it is. Everyone we encounter.
It doesn't make it okay, but that's kind of what this show is a lot of times.
Well, I mean,
a lot of times the people are worse than the walkers.
It's a struggle for resources, and you have to take, if you want to live, you have to take things, right? And you have to kill. And, it's not so surprising. And I think, Ginny is not really such a, Ginny's the worst and crazy, and Ginny just thinks everyone should have to live with her and do what she says, but doesn't want to kill people. It's actually kind of surprising to see, Ginny is now threatening to kill all of Morgan's friends to get what she wants, to get her sister back, right? But Ginny, and Ginny did kill Janice in a very horrible way a couple weeks ago by, tying her up outside for the walkers to eat her, right? That was, murder by walker.
Yeah, she's an
example. So, to say that, Ginny is better because she doesn't, that's not really true. Ginny, kills people.
But also, the other thing is, though, I think that she more killed Janice, and maybe I'm wrong, but she did use her as an example, but I think part of the reason she killed Janice was also supposed to be to cover up for Dakota, because she knew Dakota was the one that
did it. And Janice confessed. Janice confessed, even though she didn't really do it. Janice confessed.
Well,
Ginny put her to death.
Not of a choice, but yeah. But she wanted
she confessed.
Over them with and them not to investigate.
Yeah, but she confessed, so Ginny does, obviously her people have seen that Janice confessed and are going to think Janice is guilty. Yes, she's covering up, but she could, if it's a capital crime.
Put her in jail?
They put Negan in jail on the other show, but if you want to execute her, there's a way to do it humanely and not tie her up outside to be eaten alive by walkers, right? Put a bullet in her head. Nuts and terrible also. So it doesn't really surprise me that Dakota grew up to be like that. If I'm going to have to see an episode where Ginny is, upset at Dakota's behavior, that's going to be hard maybe for me to believe because she obviously learned it from her. She hates Ginny because Ginny killed their parents. Now, I think it might turn out that they were walkers or something, right? Dakota told Alicia that Ginny killed their parents. But maybe they were walkers when she killed them. Or maybe they were bitten or something, right?
I can't say anything either way. I'm just not going to say anything.
No, but no, you can say something based on what we've seen.
No,
you can say something based on what we've seen up until now. Like,
yes, like, I would agree up until now that it could have been any one of those things.
Yeah.
I don't know that it is one of those things. But yeah, I think there's definitely, I will say there's definitely more to it than what she's been led to believe. How's that?
I
think that's the way
Dakota's been led to believe, or that we've
led
to believe.
Well,
yeah.
Both. I think both.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. So I think Morgan should have shot Dakota.
Yeah, I kind of do too. But it wouldn't have brought John back. And also, he needs Dakota because he needs her as a bargaining chip. I mean, if he shoots, she's right. She's like, you won't kill me. If he does shoot her, he kind of doesn't have anything. But I would hope that he would not be hesitant now of using her. Like at the end of the last episode, he was going to use her to get Ginny given back, and Alicia's like, no, you can't do this. So I would hope at this point he would be like, nope, you know, that's what she's here for. So
it's too dangerous to bring her into their community, right? If Carol had to kill her daughter because she was too dangerous to bring to the community, right, then Dakota, you know, Carol, okay, her adopted daughter, Lizzie, like, there are people who are too dangerous to bring to the community, and Dakota's one of them. So definitely trade her, right? Mm-hmm. And I also am not so interested in seeing, like, a story where they forgive Dakota and make her a member of the community, because we just saw that with Charlie. Like, Charlie killed, what's his name, Nick, and then they rehabilitate her character, and like, Alicia accepts her and takes her as, a, like, almost a little sister.
Yeah, we
like,
talked
I don't
want to
watch that. I'm not going to watch that again with Dakota.
Yeah, we talked about, I do still, though, kind of feel like Charlie was a little different, though. Like, Charlie was younger, number one.
So
but
what?
Charlie also, I'm trying to remember,
like,
why did she kill him? Maybe it wasn't to save her life. Why did she kill him? I can't remember why she killed him. Maybe I'm wrong.
Because the vultures were, wanted to do it, right? They were, like, in conflict there. That's a really good
point. I can't remember what happened. But
she killed him. It wasn't, like, self-defense.
It wasn't.
Okay,
that's what I was thinking it was and couldn't remember. Although I do still think, you're right, somebody who's 12 years old maybe knows not to kill somebody, but I do feel like
maybe knows not.
12-year-old is a lot different than Dakota's age. I still feel like there's a pretty big gap there.
Hey, in this country, 13, 14-year-olds get tried as adults all the time.
Yeah, but that doesn't, well, yeah, you're right. But I'm just saying, like, I see it as a different thing. Dakota, the thing is John would not have told on her. I mean, he said he wouldn't. He wouldn't have. At least I don't believe he would have. Do you? When he
I
said
don't
that
think
he
would
have.
I think if John gave her his word, then he wouldn't. Yeah.
That's why I'm kind of surprised she believes Morgan, but I guess she doesn't have a choice because Morgan's the only one left. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway,
Charlie killed Nick.
The finale into premiere, it makes more sense.
Yeah. Charlie killed Nick because Nick killed one of those brothers in the Vultures. Those two guys that were, like, leading the Vultures. Mel and Ennis. Those two guys that were basically her, like, sort of, like, almost, right?
Yeah. So, I guess I can forgive. Not that it's okay. I always say that. I say, I mean, this is in this world of morality, not in our real world of morality. But in watching the show, her killing him because he killed somebody close to her, and she's only was only 12 or whatever, I can maybe forgive. The reasons that Dakota killed people, I cannot forgive. Like, to me, it's still different. It doesn't make what Charlie did okay. I'm just saying that I think one is worse than the other, I guess, in my mind.
Well, I mean, Charlie, I don't think so. I mean, Charlie killed Nick in revenge, right? Charlie killed Nick as revenge for him killing someone that she cared about. So how is that really much different than Dakota's
killing? I guess that's true. That's not any better. Yeah,
right?
You're right.
I mean,
see,
why
I don't remember.
These
I guess I'm like desensitized to it
totally
because I don't really remember even what happened.
Yeah.
That's true, too. Yeah, I guess you could give her the benefit of the doubt because she is brainwashed. Yeah, I don't know.
You're,
it's all
no,
wrong.
No, you're
just,
brainwashed. You're
so
brainwashed
weak.
By the writers to like her.
No, yeah, but you're right because they want you to like her. But the truth is, I don't even remember. That's why I said, like, I feel desensitized because I don't even remember why she killed him. Like, I honestly barely remember her killing him. And that's what they want. They want you to forget about it. So I guess,
right.
Maybe, I don't know. probably down the road maybe I won't feel like this, but I don't think I can forgive Dakota.
I mean, okay, let's face it. Charlie killed Nick because Frank Delane asked to be killed off that horrible show. That was in the worst of the worst seasons of Walking Dead, right? And he wanted to be killed.
Yeah.
So someone had to kill him. But, you know, Charlie, I mean, she did not kill him in any kind of self-defense. I mean, yeah, she was a little kid who was, like, in with a bad group of people or whatever, right? But she considered these guys to be, I mean, Nick killed someone in her family, and so she shot Nick.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm saying. Not that it's okay, but it's more understandable, I guess.
Why? Why is it understandable? Like, what, like,
because she had nobody.
I mean,
and I said I didn't say it's okay. I'm saying I can understand the motivation more than Dakota's motivation.
Look, I,
what
I
said,
understand
I'm
is the motivation.
Morality, not.
What I understand is the motivation of us having to watch characters like forgiving the. Okay, so to forgive the person who shot your brother for
I agree.
Well, we should have to watch it twice. Like if we watched it already with Alicia and Charlie, okay, but like, I don't want to see Dakota rehabilitate also. Like, it's just, it would be rehashing the same ground to me.
That's true. I see that. But then again, who knows if we're going to. I mean, we don't know what.
Well, I don't know. I'm putting it out there now, writers. I don't want to see it. Right? Like, I just, I wonder where the story is going, and I hope it's not going into some retreaded. I mean, we've also been asked to see people forgive Negan on the other show, right?
Yeah, and that's not going to happen, so.
Yeah. So I'm not really sure where this is going with Dakota. I think Morgan should not take her to his. I mean, Morgan's already giving out too much information. Like, why would he even take Dakota there in the first place? Even before she killed John. Like, I just feel like Morgan is like really like letting too many people have information, and I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I mean, Morgan. I have liked the tougher Morgan this season, who like kills people when he needs to and does what he needs to. By the way, can we assume now that it was Dakota who blew up Tank Town?
I don't know. I'm not sure that necessarily even makes sense, does it?
No,
maybe.
I
guess it could be, but I don't think it's supposed to be. I think it's, and I don't know, but I think it's supposed to be that other Doomsday group or whatever that's coming. At least that was
the
my
spray paint people. The end is the end is the beginning, people. Yeah, could be.
They're calling them Doomsday people. I think they're supposed to be the ones that did it. I also don't know that she could have. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what they did to blow it up, but I don't know that she could have done that. Like physically
once I
done
learned
it,
that,
I don't know.
Once I learned that Dakota apparently walks around everywhere with a giant bag full of antibiotics and stitches and painkillers, like now I started to think she has resources that I didn't know about. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe.
I am not looking forward to. I have not been enjoying the promos for the upcoming season because I don't like the Doomsday beardy, white-haired, crazy guy. Like, I just, to have to meet another bunch of crazy people is just, like.
Well, this is Walking Dead. I mean, that's what it's about. It's crazy villains. No, I know what you mean.
But that's not what it's about. That's what it's become to be about, right? Like, that's what we have to watch.
Right.
Out. Like, every group is crazier than the next. So, like, I'm not looking forward to that, especially as we're approaching, we have a big bad for the season. It's Ginny. And, like I don't know. I'm just getting, like, taxidermy feelings every time I see that guy.
Oh, wait, they did show. Yeah, that's, isn't that, I just want to call him Lex Luthor or, not Lex Luthor.
I don't know who he is.
I'm trying to remember.
Whoever that actor is,
I can't remember. He was
all the hair.
Either Lex Luthor or his father or something from one of the shows I watched a long time ago. I forgot that he was going to be in it.
Anyway.
What else was he in? Lucifer. Okay. Anyways, something else.
I mean, everybody's talking about how this death is really setting up, like, the season, like, how the characters will react to it. That's another reason why I feel like it's a little unfortunate I haven't seen the show for a year, because we haven't seen the bonds between these characters in a long time, and it's hard. Like, I still think of John as a new character, because we've been watching these shows since the first Walking Dead, right? And I still think of him as a new guy. So, in fact, it was a little shocking to me when Morgan said, "I don't want my best friend to die," and I was like, "Huh, they're best friends." Like, that.
Yeah, I was kind of a little taken back by that, too.
Yeah. But, Yeah. Maybe because we haven't seen them
in a year.
I don't
know, but
I guess, but I do. I kind of wish I'd rewatched the finale, you know, before I watched it, because I think it might have helped, because a lot of it I had forgotten to begin with. But knowing now you saying that and having forgot that this was actually a finale, that actually makes more sense, and that actually makes sense to me why it felt like these were continued. I mean, this felt like one total storyline, and obviously a cliffhanger into a premiere does that. So, So that makes more sense. Well, there's a lot to come. I think there's some things you're going to be annoyed at, but I think that there's a lot you're going to like.
There's always
next
something
one, but
I'm annoyed at on this franchise.
Yeah, in this show, yeah. But all in all, I think this was a pretty well-written episode. I mean, for the most part, I really liked it.
Well-directed, well-shot. A lot of things came full circle, right? I mean, John died at the place where we met him, where he met June. It was, you know, and in that sense, they got to say their goodbye, sort of. I mean, June
sort of.
Is now going to be very upset that she didn't leave with him or get him to stay with her. I mean, so we'll see. I mean, I know you've watched the next episode, but, I would say, like, the ramifications for June, of course, are the strongest. Alicia, Taylor, and Charlie, so, and I think it'll be interesting to see, like, what this does to Virginia, like, who, like, Virginia's counting on all the leverage she has over Morgan, and like, her sister now is this sort of, like, has done this thing that Ginny didn't count on, right? Like, it's now is going to make Morgan, like, this is getting Morgan ready for war, which I'm not psyched about, because we've seen Alexandria go to war twice now in the last, like, three seasons, right? And so now we're going to see maybe another war, and they're getting Sherry involved in it. And, like, this is a lot of stuff. Like, I don't know. I feel like Ginny always thinks she's in control, and she's not. And Dakota has, like, spun it, put more variables and spun it more out of control.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
So, all right.
At least we don't have to. It's a good thing. But like I said, people can read the exclusive with Garrett, but also there's roundtables for almost everybody in the cast, all the main
ones,
I think. So people get some info if they read that. I mean, they're not, like, spoilery, super, whatever. I mean, they were pre-premiere, but there's some good information in there, so people should check that out.
Especially I thought Coleman Domingo was very good in that interview.
I wish they, when they do them, though, that they'd put Coleman and Alicia together. Like, I'd like to have them both be in the same group.
Yeah, I'm sure
they
did
that last time, too. They split them up.
But he talked a lot about Strand, which, you know, I hope we get some more. I'd like to see more Strand. That's an interesting storyline. So.
Yeah. I will go say, though, there's some funny stuff in there, too, because I know the one thing I was just going to comment on, because people haven't read it and don't listen to it. The one thing I thought was funny is I asked what I asked before that new Walking Dead show about because it's always something you can ask, did any of the walkers or anything ever gross them out or freak them out? And Coleman just started laughing because he was, like, telling these stories of how it's hilarious to watch the people that play the walkers, because I mean, I've heard them before say how, like, they eat lunch with them and things like that. He's like, now they're walking around with masks on and they're all cracking up because it's like, it seems weird for a zombie to have a mask on because they're already dead, you know, and all just kind of laughing about watching them and how it falls off because they have no ears and these whole conversations. I don't know. It was just funny, but you never really think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty.
All right.
Okay.
So we should move on from this.
Yep. You want to move on to Wynonna?
Yeah, series finale, maybe, of Wynonna Earp.
We'll keep saying maybe. Well, I have to say, I think this was one of the best finales I've watched, I feel like. I mean, not that maybe other things haven't happened in other shows, but what I liked about this finale is that, for one, the whole thing wasn't new bad stuff up until the very end. Like, I feel like it let the show breathe. It let it have some happy moments, and
everybody got a fairly good happy ending. And maybe that's not how a lot of people enjoy their shows. I mean, some people may disagree with me there, but I just thought that it was really good and it had a really good ending and I was happy with the way it ended. And I feel like, yes, I want it to come back, but if it doesn't come back in another way, I can be okay with that. Like, it wrapped up almost everything. Maybe not to the best of their abilities. There's like a couple things I would have liked to have seen, like with Alice or with Jeremy. But yeah, I mean, for the first part, I just thought it was really good and it was a good episode and a good finale. What did you think?
I thought it was a good season finale too. I think they did a very good job of wrapping things up, but leaving room for more storytelling. There's not a lot that is okay. So there are many, many plot threads that got lost over the last 4 years because the show is sort of a crazy town kind of a show. But all the mates, like everybody got their happy ending, which, you know, I think doesn't always happen, but this is a show that was saved by the fans twice. And it's nice that this really gave the fans everything they wanted in the end. Like, both couples, both lead couples ended up happy at the end. You know, Jeremy has the potential of a new boyfriend maybe. Like, everybody's happy. Everybody's happy at the end. He's headed BBD. Everybody, and they left it open that they're Purgatory is still a supernatural town, and you could still have a Monster of the Week episode in another forever, right? Like, there's room for more, but everything is sort. And why not still the air, and still wield Peacemaker? So I think they did a good job of that. Of giving everybody their ending, but leaving room for you to imagine more stories. I don't think it'll be renewed on another network.
I don't think it'll go
to another network. I think they wrapped it up enough that, like, sell a new network. I'm sure Emily Ayers could come up with a new storyline, but you'd be, like, almost rebooting it, I think.
No, I agree with that. I see what you're saying, but I also feel like if the right network got a hold of it, I feel like maybe it could do well just because of the fan base. But, yeah, I agree. I mean, it would have to do something to it. But I could see, like, Netflix or something picking it up. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I could maybe see that. But I think more likely they'll probably come back with, like, a set of comics or a movie or something maybe later on down the road. I would more see that.
It already was a comic.
And being more likely.
It was a comic in the first place.
No, I know, but I mean – is the comic still going on, though? I thought the comics was done.
No, comic's long over, yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm saying, I could see it coming out with, like, a series of comics to, like, beyond, you know what I mean? Like, a new series. Like, I could see that and have it based more on this version or there being a TV movie or something later on down the road, like what they did with Stargate. But I don't know that there's going to be anything anytime soon. I'd like to see it, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, I don't know, but sometimes the people who own the rights to the comic are not the people who own the rights to the show and that stuff. But anyway.
Well, I think they also got more of a resolution and got a long show. You know what I mean? Four seasons is a decent length. Like, I think I was thinking of how, like, the fans saved Lucifer and brought it to Netflix. But it wasn't on that long on television.
Or The Expanse. These are shows that got canceled in the middle of a story that was still being told.
These got
Wynonna Knight's
this got
it
a
up.
Complete story.
I did not love the Haunted Wedding. So I liked the Haunted Wedding Dress storyline. I thought it was cute. I didn't love that they wrapped it up in about 10 minutes. It was wrapped up in the first, like, 20 minutes of the episode.
And the fact that they just left that way. I'm sorry that shouldn't have happened to you. The end. it was a little rushed.
Been an hour and a half to like they threw it in there and it was kind of fun and I liked it, but then I was like, wow, they're really rushing through this to try to get to the wedding. And you know, okay, the wedding deserves a lot of attention, but that did feel a little rushed.
No, I don't know,
that haunted
I see what you're saying. It did feel a little rushed, especially because they really, like I said, she was like, I wish that hadn't happened to you, but then they just dropped it. So I get that, but at the same time, like I said, I do kind of appreciate that they didn't spend the whole episode on that, though, because they gave time for the other storylines to be wrapped up. However, I agree with you. Maybe if they'd done an hour and a half, that would have been like a compromise, probably.
I mean, it would have worked better. It wasn't as rushed as last week, and it is a little weird to me that, like, no one mentioned at all, You were a dark angel. What is that all about? Is that really you? Is that, like, none of that, like, that was all just completely, like, that's over now.
Only in purgatory. Yeah. No, I agree. The one thing I wanted to ask you, though, I'm wondering if I missed something. You know how at the end they had the seats, like, showing the people that weren't there?
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Which
yeah.
I did, too. But what I couldn't figure out is, did I miss something last week? I thought Mercedes, like, became a vampire, but she was okay, wasn't she? Because I was confused why there was a seat for Mercedes. Like, they made it like she died or something.
Because it's COVID and you can't have all these people sitting around in seats.
Yeah, I did actually think of that. But no, but I mean, I took it to be the people in the seats were all supposed to be people that couldn't be there. That's why I was kind of confused. And I thought, did I miss something that she died? Because it was my understanding she was a vampire, but she was still alive, I thought.
Well, can she come out in the daylight? Did Doc ever go out in the daylight when he was a vampire? On this show, vampires can go in the daylight. I mean, maybe it was just family.
Yeah.
They only invited, like, six people, right? Like, it was just family.
Yeah.
It was just people they considered
family. No, yeah, I get it. Just the way they focused on it to me was kind of weird. Like, I thought they were trying to say that. Like,
so
I got that they showed dolls and that.
Maybe so she won't bite the humans who are in attendance there. There's any number of reasons why she shouldn't be invited. She's definitely a frenemy more than a friend. Right.
I just, the way they focused on it made me feel like they were trying to show something. Like when they showed dolls, that made sense. You know?
Yeah, and there were a bunch of other names.
I just was curious.
It was a lot of people. I didn't see them all, but, I mean, they were all, I mean, I thought that was really nicely done. I thought it was sort of beautiful the way they did that.
Yes, it was. I just was wondered if there was more to that one that I missed something.
Yeah,
that was like, yeah. And I liked how they had at the end the sign for the ranch too that they changed, and it's like everybody's welcome type of thing.
I still don't really feel like Rachel added a whole lot to this year. And they like the way that they like made Rachel, I don't know, her character in general just didn't really work for me that much. Ever since they found her and brought her in to be part of the family, I think she worked more than ever.
I think if maybe there had been another season, it might have, like,
there wasn't enough time,
I feel like. I don't know.
Well, we were supposed to just count on the fact that for 18 months, she and Nicole were getting closer that we didn't see. And I, like, we had to believe that Nicole loved her because we were told that. And then it turns out that, she really worships Winona, and Winona, like, I didn't... And remember when they first, so I just saw a rerun of the episode when they first met in that, like, underground bunker where Rachel's mother worked. And Rachel talks about how her family's from Mexico and she's descended from an Aztec princess, and she tells the story about the magical powers. And I've always expected Rachel to turn out to, like, have some sort of powers, and it never happened.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that.
Maybe it was planned in the future. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. But I think, you know,
all I know is that girl can sing. I will say that.
Yeah, that surprised me. I think it actually kind of worked. She worked for me more than ever in this episode where she and Nedley were becoming, you know, like as he's losing Nicole, not that he's losing Nicole, but Nicole, he kind of almost raised Nicole. He's like,
it sounds like Nicole's growing up and going away. Yeah.
He's been her father figure for so long, and now he takes this other young person under his wing.
That quote was so bad when he's taking a boat fishing. He's like, "There will not." Once he says it, he's like, "There will only be one kind of tent pitched."
Oh yeah,
that was dirty.
Yeah.
It was funny. I liked what he said. That I thought that was cute.
Yeah,
I agree. It's nice. He's got like another younger person to.
Yeah, and then of course the highlight was the usual Doc and Winona. Will they or won't they? So you and I talked about the idea that Doc wanted to leave town felt a little sudden to me. Like, I don't feel like I've seen Doc for 4 years saying how he wants to get out of this town and wants to leave. And, like, now that he's human and he can...
Now that they're finally getting along, you know, he just wants to take off. It's a little...
He's like, I want to move on.
Contrived.
I mean, you know, there was a long time where they were, like, literally trapped in the Ghost River Triangle. For a long time, they couldn't cross the line, or they couldn't be purgatory, I guess. It did feel a little sudden to me that he wanted to leave, but, I mean, it was very, I think the writers did a good job with, you know, typical Doc and Winona not neither one of them wants to say I love you, because what if the other one doesn't, or because they both don't think they deserve it, right? These are like two of the most damaged people on any of the shows.
No, but they both did. That's what's important.
I mean, they did.
They
but
finally
that was
did,
like,
and that's what's important. But yeah, but I think it's fitting too that they're just kind of like leaving together, like for their next chapter. It works. But yeah, the fact that he was going to leave them all there, I don't quite buy. But them going together, I guess, is okay with, and they're going to go find Alice and riding off into the sunset, quite literally. So yeah, it was cute.
Yeah,
and she shot out his tires.
Yeah,
what's that? I always forget what the car's name is, but he was not happy with that.
I forget the car's name, but yeah, I mean, this was an ending that the fan, like, this was total fan service. This ending,
yeah, totally.
But it for this show, it worked. Like, for a lot of shows, you know, that don't want to do fan service, like, look at a show like, you know, I mean, you didn't watch The 100, but AJ and I, like, went insane because, like, they killed the fan favorite character right near the end of this, right? Like, we don't want total fan service, but we want a little fan service when you get near the end. And this show, like, the fans, I mean, the fans are the reason the show got this far.
Yep, definitely.
Fans saved the show. So, yeah, I thought it was well
done. Me too. I enjoyed it. Like I said, I think it was a good episode and a good finale. And I think it makes a difference, too, when they know it's a series finale. I mean, sometimes you have season finales that turn into series finales, but this knew ahead of time, which was good.
Yeah, so they were able to bring it to the closure.
Yeah. I was just going to say, because I see his picture here at the bottom of the sci-fi article, that Tim's show Surreal Estate is coming soon, I guess. So if people want to see more of Tim Rosen. All right. Well, I guess we have done this one now to its fullest. I think we said everything.
Okay,
I was glad they put them together. Like I said, I'm more of a fan of Wynonna and Doc, more so than Waverly and Nicole. So I like that they got them together. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to close that window. Okay, so what do we have left? Manifest and Debris, is that it? I think that's it.
Yeah. AJ,
okay.
Who would you like to talk about?
AJ, you've seen both, which?
He's going to say Debris.
I am.
I figured, though, after you said that, he'd go, well, then no, we'll do Manifest now.
We'll do Debris.
No, I definitely, Karen, as Karen knows, I generally like to talk about the less better show and then talk about the good show. Or at least the better of the two.
Yeah.
I feel like a broken record, and maybe but I'm going to be very assertive and definitive about this week. I feel like Debris can be a really good show if it could just turn the corner and focus on the mythology. These Monster of the Week episodes, I shouldn't say episodes, because they've kind of been myth alone, you know, they've talked about the overarching storyline, you know, like, which is mainly with her dad and everything. This week got a little interesting with her sister giving her that, you know, the way they were talking, like, sister code, which was very obvious even before Finola said,
before she told,
hey, it's a secret code. I actually feel like this show could be really good if they could just turn the corner. You could still see your monster, you know, and it's like, I don't know, maybe because I don't want to say, I'm not comparing it to Fringe or The X-Files, but that's my basis. Those are shows that did it right. Those are shows that were able to do the Monster of the Week, but keep the but go into the mythology. We haven't gotten into the mythology yet. We really don't know anything, you know, dumped in the middle of the story that's already happening. The characters' chemistry is getting better, but it's still not quite there. It's every week it's a Monster of the Week, and it's like, it's almost like the opposite of what they should be doing. You know, the Monster of the Week should be the afterthought. Have it, but you got to focus on the mythology. I know we live in a world of reality TV.
Short attention span.
Yes. NBC knew what they were getting when they signed up for this. NBC has another show. Oh, wait. Yeah, Manifest is on NBC also, right?
Like, gotta think about it, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, so NBC isn't afraid of these type of shows. But I just, I almost feel like, all right, like, there are some shows out there, and Fringe is one of them, that was introduced as a Monster of the Week. Secretly, it was never a Monster of the Week, and it was always
like
intended to be, like, you know, high concept, you know? ABC had no idea what they were getting themselves into when Lost started. And that's okay. But we live in a world now where those tricks don't work. You don't have, you know, you don't have to trick people into watching the show and getting them to like it and then turning the corner and they're still going, ooh, it's even better now. Maybe I do like high concept. Like Jamie just said, short attention spans.
Yeah.
I don't have a short attention span, but I'm getting to the point where if they don't do something to keep my interest, I'm not going to watch this show next season because it's not the show I was expecting. You know, I hear J.H. Wyman. I see all this alien stuff. You know, I'm expecting some sort of high concept. The Monster of the Week this week was boring as hell and predicted. It was so predictable. Like, the whole thing was predictable. And
I thought
I might be good at figuring stuff out, but I don't want predictable.
Yeah, well, sometimes you're going to get some, but yeah, it gets a little bit. And I got to say, you know, I'm starting to agree with you. Like, I really like the show. So from the beginning, I really like the show. I find it enjoyable, but it does definitely feel like something's missing because I found myself this week being like, oh, I miss, like, because I keep forgetting it's on Monday for whatever reason. But I'm always usually like, oh, I forgot to bring it. Like, I'll watch it, you know, Tuesday morning or whatever. And I'm just kind of like, oh, I got to watch that yet. Is it Monday? Whatever day it's on. But the point is I didn't, like, I wasn't, like, all, like, eager to see it. I feel like I find myself being more like, I'll get to it when I get to it type of thing.
Jamie, you know how I say it every week? I go, oh, I still have to watch Debris.
So I thought this was the worst episode yet. I thought this episode was terrible. Oh, my God, yes. I thought this episode was terrible. I thought the Debris of the Week was a very weak and horrible storyline, which, like, they didn't touch on anything at all about, like, trying to investigate the debris or what does the debris do or who wanted debris or why this kid. Like, so this guy killed his brother because he wanted to get more debris so he could mind control the army because he has PTSD and he's mad about Afghanistan. Like, that right there.
Oh, that was his motive? I didn't even understand his motive.
Right? Yeah. Thank you,
AJ.
Yeah,
I think that was his motive. After you said that, you're right. You know what? They really didn't. I mean, it told them not to investigate, and they, like, left because they were kind of talked out of it. But now that I think about it, you're right. There really wasn't kind of any big point to it, was there?
There was no point to it. He killed his brother.
One.
He killed his brother to shoot himself.
And
because he was going to... Because he was going to, like, go to this army base that he happens to live near, and then he caused... So he can mind control that pilot from, like, how far away was that to force him to crash? Like, he can barely, like he's trying to make Brian kill himself, and Brian is resisting and resisting and resisting, and he's standing 5 feet away from him and has to, like, can barely get Brian to do it, but he can, like, mind meld this guy up in the sky and make him crash the plane in one, like, what?
And even,
like
his,
no?
his brother's wife, ex-wife, but, you know, it's not for nothing, though. There may be a difference between them not knowing it's happening and him standing there knowing what
Jamie,
he's doing.
But we
but yeah, you're
have
right.
To be
no,
having
I'm
this
not
conversation.
Disagreeing.
Right? Like
you're right.
There was
you're
no
right, right.
It was the absolute crappiest debris story we've had yet. And I think would be much more interested in, like, them having to race every single time to get this piece of debris before someone else gets it. Like, in the end, are they even collecting them? Like, that girl had, like, 1 million pieces of debris in an old, like, why they have
know,
an old, like, 1930s diving suit is another question to me, but, and somebody mute your microphone while you're cooking dinner.
Not me.
In the background.
That's me. I'm not cooking dinner, though.
I know, it's a little late. You're not cooking dinner, but.
Sorry, I could barely hear the noise myself.
Sorry.
Anyway,
your microphone
sorry,
is
you
incredible.
Yeah.
You have like
a
professional
microphone
on your phone. I just thought it was really weak and ill-described, and, like, I don't really know what's going on with these. Like, I'd like to learn more about the debris. It really bothers me that the characters don't seem to care to learn more about the debris. Like, every week it's about saving a – how many episodes are there where there's a kid that they're trying to save? Like, there's a kid almost every week involved with the debris.
Yeah.
It's yeah, I thought it was really shitty. I thought it was a terrible, terrible debris of the week.
I was interested in the part about Anson. I found that interesting. To a point, because I kept thinking at first they made it like they were going to torture him. Like, okay, they gave him Novocaine. You don't give somebody you're going to torture Novocaine.
Well,
I said excuse me.
I mean, they took his shoes off. They're getting ready to torture him, and then it turned. Well, they basically did torture him. I mean, he clearly was suffering while they were reading his mind. So, I'm sorry, if you're in pain and you're suffering...
I don't think the point's to torture him, though. I think the point's to find out what they want to know.
Well, Jamie, I don't... You're, like, you can't explain away torture like that. Like, it's okay to torture someone if it's not the point of your torture. All torture is...
No, but I mean, I don't think they were torturing him. But they weren't exactly torturing him. I mean, they cut open his head and put that piece of metal in, but they gave him Novocaine so he didn't feel it. He was more, I think, like, in pain because he was resisting them reading his mind. At least that's definitely how
okay,
I took it.
But if you
not
know
so,
you're
I think they just wanted
pain.
You to think they were going to torture him.
I think
but they weren't
was
causing
torture.
Him pain. If he didn't resist, it wouldn't
Yes, they
hurt.
Were. Well, Jamie, that's what they always say when they torture you. Tell us. Don't resist us. Just tell us and we'll stop getting shit out of
no,
you.
No, but
that's
I
what torturers say. Oh, my God.
But the only
you
thing they did
Kitmo?
Was use the machine to read his brain. They used the machine to read his brain waves. They weren't, like, physically giving him pain. I take it differently. Sorry.
Jamie, it was physically
giving
him pain.
They weren't, like, saying we're going to hurt you if you don't tell us. They were just using a machine that was forcing them to tell them.
Okay. I
don't know.
Hold on a second. I understand what Jamie's trying to say, but saying it
I don't
poorly. Their intent, they weren't pulling his fingernails out to get him to talk. They just didn't care that the process for this brainwave video machine was going to hurt him. They didn't care that they were hurting
right,
him.
But I guess my point is their goal wasn't to hurt him. Like, their goal was to read the what's
yeah,
in his head.
They just didn't care that they were.
Right. To torture him for the sake of
and
torturing
so,
him.
So
yeah.
Is it okay when people test cosmetics on animals
okay.
and it blinds them because their point is
no,
not to
I never
the
said
animal,
it was
their
okay.
point is to
no,
sell cosmetics?
Well, no, we're not making the yeah. argument that it's okay. We're just differentiating between intentional harm and oh, well, you're getting hurt by the
collateral harm.
I guess my point is they weren't trying to torture him because otherwise why would you give him Novocaine? But the fact that they gave him Novocaine was what was stupid. So I don't know. I'm just
It is torture.
Point,
it is torture. If you know it's hurting the person and you do it anyway, it's torture. If you're anyway, this is a stupid conversation because the point should be that that has to be a debris-based That has to be debris-based. There's no way you can read a person's
well,
thought
yeah,
that has to be debris.
Well, yeah, they stuck a piece of debris in his head. They stuck a yeah. piece of debris in his head and they could see what he was thinking. I thought it was kind of cool. I wanted to see more of that.
Yeah, well, I mean, so the more interesting part of the story that they don't do anything with, as AJ is complaining, is that, like, Brian and Finola are ignorant to the fact that both their bosses have debris and use debris for different purposes, and these two are, like, ignorant to it. Like, do they really think? Apparently, Finola really believes that the debris goes to some warehouse somewhere where only scientists look at it or whatever. And
yeah.
both their bosses are, I also think more
yeah,
and more,
just
like,
collecting
Brian,
it, not
Brian made some, Brian made some comments this week about how, like, when I came home from Afghanistan, I was suffering, someone saved my life. It clearly it's Maddox who saved his life. And I more
oh,
and more think that, I more and more think that Brian maybe had some health problem that debris was used to cure him or something like that. I think there's debris involved
it's
in Brian's
very
care
possible.
In Afghanistan.
I don't know that he necessarily knows that, though. I think it's possible that that happened, but he doesn't know they're using debris.
I think the fact that he works for the department and he is aware of debris, I don't see a reason to hide the fact that debris saved his life. If anything, debris is the reason
no,
that he agreed to
life, but not
work on the project.
The
injections,
no. I guess.
But,
yeah.
But that's,
I think that's how they coerced
it
him.
Could be. Yeah,
I think that's
could
how
be.
They
you're
coerced
right.
him to work in a job that
I think it's totally connected.
Yeah.
I think it's totally connected.
My concern with is why I'm curious what the, and I can't remember her name. Priya, is that her name?
Who?
No, I'm getting after something else.
Who?
Her boss, Nola's boss.
Ferris?
Ferris. I'm the one calling her Priya.
That might be her first
anyway,
name, but her name, is, they call her
I
Ferris.
Have no idea. I don't know where I got it from. But I'm interested in the fact of why she's using her sister. And, I mean, I'm curious, like, what that was about. Like, obviously she wants her to come there, but why not just ask her to come? Like, what was the reason she had to have her sister lie to her? Unless she knows maybe that she's in cahoots with him now. I don't know. But I'm kind of interested where that's going. And it looks like from next week we may actually get the code, hopefully.
They told the sister to use the code? I think they told the sister to say something.
They told the sister to come. She's just telling her the truth. Yeah. No, I didn't mean that. I meant that they went to the sister because they think they can make the sister get her to come there. I'm just saying I don't understand why Ferris didn't just say, I need to talk to you. Like, what's behind this, that they needed the sister, I guess, is what I'm saying. Unless
they
the father's
want,
there with the sister.
Because they don't want Nola to tell Brian. Because she's MI6 and Maddox is CIA, and Ferris doesn't want – so if Ferris says, we found your father, come home, then Finola might tell Brian they found your father. So she lies to her to get him to come, but it turns out Brian already found out.
She must have an idea that she's telling him things, I guess is what I'm getting at. That, like, otherwise, why would she use her sister? Like, there's no reason to unless she knows she's telling him.
Because she doesn't want to say, because Ferris doesn't want to say, come home, because Ferris will tell Brian. I mean, Finola will tell Brian. Ferris doesn't trust Finola not to tell things to Brian. That's why, I think. She doesn't want to, that's why.
Right,
she's like,
but I'm just saying, as her boss, she could say, come here without telling her why. I guess is what I'm saying. Like, I'm just curious why.
Yes, and then Finola will say, I'm going home because my boss called me, and he'll wonder why. If she says, I'm going home because my sister called me, he won't wonder if it's related to debris or
guess
the father or anything.
My cord.
Like, Ferris doesn't want, that's what I think, Ferris doesn't want Brian to know.
No, I agree. I'm just curious why her sister. Like, I feel like there has to be a reason why she used her sister. Does that make sense?
Well, how else will she get her to
else.
Come home? There's nobody else. Her father's dead. Her mother's dead. Who's going to get her to come home for a family emergency besides her only person in her family?
I guess that's true. You are correct.
She has no reason to go home to England except for a family emergency or a meeting with Ferris.
Yeah.
Anyway, it also pissed me off that they're just like, we found your father. Like, talk about being dropped into the middle of the story. Like, the father is a MacGuffin. I'm sorry. The father's a MacGuffin. And, like, every now and then, there's some father business. Like, to me, by dropping us in the middle of the story, I don't care about Finola and her father. Like, I barely know Finola. It's episode, like, 5. And, like, we never met her father. We never saw their relationship. And I'm just supposed to, like, I don't know. I feel like the father is, like, he could be anything. Father could be a briefcase they're searching for, right? Father could be, like, whatever. And now they suddenly found him. Like, who cares? Whatever. Get on with it. I thought this episode was terrible, and this episode was terrible.
Which is funny, because last week we thought that was the best episode of the season, and now this is the worst.
I think it's the worst. I mean, just stop with the debris episode. Just stop with it, and just, like, have them chase a MacGuffin all over the world, right? Like, have them be chasing whatever, but to have these stupid episodes every week where there's some piece of debris that every one of them does something different, and not one character ever says, huh, how does this relate to the other pieces? Like, no one ever seems to be concerned about, like, about how they go together or how do pieces of a species, like, no one ever talks about, like, what they mean, how they go together, what they do, any of this. And then this ridiculous, I'm sorry, Ash and these guys from, what's it called? Invoke? Insight?
Influx.
Like,
Influx.
Influx.
Why can't you remember that, Karen?
Because they're stupid. Because their entire
That's how you really feel, Karen.
Their entire philosophy is the technology should be free. Well, I don't see them, like, being like, let's take these 100 pieces of debris this little girl found and hand one out to everyone. Like, they, like, if the technology should be free, like, why are they, like, why are
it's
they
more
secret?
Like, we should be allowed to use it. Yeah.
Well, why are they not on the internet every day? Like, they don't seem to act like people who want technology to be free. They seem to act like people who want the technology for themselves. Right?
Right.
Like,
oh, you're right.
Like, their ideology makes no sense to me whatsoever.
I will say one thing about this episode's debris. I absolutely foresee this debris showing up later in the season.
Well, there's only, like,
mind-controlling debris.
It's mind-controlling debris.
Kind of. So I definitely see that playing in at some point.
Yeah.
And I like the, you know, and that's the thing. They're trying to weaponize this debris. Like, you know, we've seen Maddox try to put the pieces together. We've seen him put, you know, play with individual pieces. You know,
we see him
torture this one. Yeah, I mean, this piece of debris, honestly, is probably the most dangerous piece they've actually found so far, from what we've seen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mind control. Yeah.
Very dangerous.
Yeah.
And you're right. It'll come back again, which might make more sense if, like, we had fewer different kinds that we could keep track of and see again. And so every single week, it's like there's one that turns the air into chlorine. There's one that lets you control people's minds. There's one that makes you turn young again. There's one that, like, right?
Like, it's interesting, but they need some kind of connection.
Yeah. Well, or if there were only, like, three kinds, this, you know, this show, I have no idea where it's going. It's incoherent to me. I hate this show.
Tell us how you feel, Karen. I don't believe you.
That's what I said. Karen is mad at it right now. Well, there's my earphone again. Dang it. That's like the third time it's fallen out.
I'm mad at the show for being so bad this week. Ugh. And Brian was terrible this week. That poor actor, man. The director is just not getting what he could be so good.
Well, I told you.
No, he's a good actor. They're just not giving him.
I told you last week. He looks like he wants to be anywhere other than where he is, and Finola always looks sad. And Finola always looks sad. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
That's why I say, I feel like if they turn the corner and just commit to the mythology, I'm not saying you get away from the Monsters of the Week. They're fine. But you need more. If they turn that corner and they focus on the mythology for a bit, I think this is a different show, and I think it's very watchable and possibly even addicting, because you might, you know, once we have more of the picture, I think it becomes a much better show.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll bring up Fringe again. Fringe did something we were all like, are you freaking kidding me with the Red Universe? We're like, oh, my God. And it was, you know, it made the show better. So you got to do some things sometimes. You can't just keep with this Monster of the Week because you're going to lose people that are looking for more.
But here's the thing.
The other thing is you can miss a couple weeks and not even miss anything. That's what's bad. Like,
exactly.
On the show,
you're right.
You should be able to skip three episodes.
Because nothing happens. Because we're on episode, like, five or six and nothing has happened yet.
Yeah, because it's
this
funny,
week could
I
have been
down,
the season premiere again.
Yeah, because, like, I'm sitting down, my mom's in here, and, like, I'm going to watch it. I'm like, oh, you didn't see what happened. I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter. You missed, like, three of them, but you're fine. That's kind of bad.
And the thing about a show like Fringe blowing our minds, it took a long time to get there. And I feel like, you know, what makes a show, like, if you look at Mulder and Scully or Peter and Olivia or Doc and Wynonna or even, like, the main cops on Law and Order, like, the relationship between, like, we knew that Mulder and Scully, we knew that Peter and Olivia trusted each other. They trusted each other, and they liked each other. And, like, here we have two characters who are always mad, always said, don't trust each other, don't like each other. And I'm supposed to, like, watch this partnership. Like, they need
to. The thing is, I was just going to say, you can even have partners that don't start out not liking each other, too. But the thing is, there has to be something there that makes them compelling. Yeah, but I mean, there has to be something there to make you want to see them together.
I mean, that's the perfect example of Mulder and Scully.
Love of each other.
Because
Mulder and
Scully
like each other together.
Did not, they trusted each other, you know, like, they trusted each other to a point, and Mulder always knew that Scully was, you know, reporting back to Skinner, you know. And, but their chemistry, and you could always, like, you know, a lot of it goes towards Gillian Anderson. she was, even though she was telling Mulder that you're ridiculous, it's science, it's this, it's that, whatever, but you could always see in her acting and in her mannerisms and her body language the connection with Mulder, and there was, you know, the part of her that didn't want him to be wrong, you know,
yeah.
no matter what she right. said yeah. from time to time, which is what made their relationship be, you know, when they were just friends, compelling, you know. You liked
yeah.
watching and seeing what those two were going to do every week. With these
yeah.
two,
mm-hmm.
I don't care.
No, I don't care. I don't like either of them. They're both, yeah, they're both, like, in a bad mood all the time. And they are the worst cops ever. And, like, if I have to watch another episode where someone says to Olivia, what is that thing? And she says, we're still trying to figure it out. What happened here? We're still trying to figure it out. Every week she says, we're still trying to figure it out. And I don't understand how does the whole planet not already know? They suck at keeping secrets. How does the whole planet not know that there's debris everywhere that can do this stuff? Like, right? Like, I mean, on X-Files, like, they bring in someone to kill all of you. And on Men in Black, they do the flash thing. On this show, they're like, we're still trying to figure it
they
out. Don't worry about it.
There.
Right? I mean, come
yeah.
on. This guy,
yeah,
like,
right.
killed his, right? Yeah. This is sloppy. This is a sloppy, sloppy show. I'm sorry.
Okay.
They need to, like, fix some things. Because it's going to get NBC does not, like, let a show go very long if it doesn't get good ratings.
Nope.
So,
just after the event.
Like, yeah. I mean, NBC, it's like they want to have a high-concept show, but they don't have the patience to let it develop. I'm kind of shocked that J.H. Wyman brought a show to NBC because, like, this kind of a show,
yeah, I know.
Like,
the show should have been
it's
going
to get better. It's going to take a while to get into it and hit its stride, and NBC is going to cancel it.
Yeah, but let's be honest. Mm-hmm. NBC really had a lot of good sci-fi shows, though. I mean, Manifest is okay, but, like, NBC really – I mean, they've had shows that are okay, but they never last more than, like, half a season.
Well,
but that's
the thing.
Yeah.
NBC tries. They try for high-concept shows, but like Karen just said, they don't have the patience. What you call it? Oh God, the hell is the name of that show?
Awesome.
Start with an R.
It's on NBC.
Revolution.
Revolution. Yeah, Revolution was NBC, and it just when it started getting better, they canceled the damn thing. The event, which I felt like I didn't have any problems with what was going on with the event. I had no complaints about the event. It was intriguing, and then they canceled it. With you know. So, like, I don't, you know, somebody, whoever's running the show at NBC, doesn't like it, they just cancel it.
No. NBC
you know?
Is a friend who goes with you to the amusement park and then refuses to get on the roller coaster.
Yes. That is an excellent analogy. I like
right?
that.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're totally right. I think it would have done better
yeah.
on another network.
Yeah.
It's too, I think,
yeah.
too, the other thing is it's too light. Like, it's too, well, mythology light, for one. But, like, it needs more substance. And I think it would have done better on Fox or ABC.
What? The show needs something to happen, yeah.
Yeah, that's not necessarily the truth, okay, what's your name, Jamie. remember Flash
but
Forward?
I'm just saying.
Flash Forward was on the ABC.
Well,
and
ABC
they canceled that after one
shots
season.
Either. Well, because most of the stuff on ABC
oh,
gets canceled, too. Lost did not,
well,
but most of them did get
but
canceled.
But think about it.
Most stuff gets canceled.
Flash Forward came on the heels of Lost, so you would have thought the ABC would have said, yeah, take a shot, man.
Yeah. I mean, most shows, yeah. Anyway, this is horrible, this show, and they need to do something or get rid of it. Because this was, yeah, to me, this was a new low. To the point that something actually happened, they found the father, I should be like, yeah, they found the father, yeah. They have mind-reading debris, and I'm like, instead I'm like, that kid and her father and her uncle were stupid, and I can't believe I watched that.
Well, not
you're not wrong.
I think next week might be mythology, so hopefully it'll be better. I don't know.
It can't be worse. It can't be worse. Next week will definitely be better.
Don't say that. You
at least next week will be better.
Wait, you can't say that. You can't say that, Karen.
We're gonna make it suck.
It might not be.
It's gonna be,
yeah.
it's gonna be good next week.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Let's
moving along.
Going to manifest.
let's talk about the better of the two, but still confusing.
I mean, the good thing about Debris is it makes Manifest look great.
There you go.
Right? Yeah. Okay, so how did you guys... Let's have Jamie as the new watcher of the show, reviewing the show. Jamie, you talk for a minute.
Okay. I like how they brought back the guys from the last time that were on the ice. I told you guys, I like the beginning of this season. I think, like, I want to keep watching it. It's really interesting. The only thing I'm not so sure about is we talk about, like, the mythology and the sci-fi and stuff. I don't know if I like the way they're going so much. I mean, it makes sense and it's kind of interesting, but I don't know how much I like the idea of more of the religious kind of thing they're bringing into it. Of, like, the idea of them being dead could be interesting, but I feel like it depends how it plays out. But yeah, I think I want to know, like, why his hand glows. I'm not so interested in, although this may become more interesting, but, like, if people are finding out, like, that to me isn't really what's interesting of their lives going to be ruined from the press, I guess. Like, I'm more interested in the actual what's going on with the plane and
well,
stuff.
That's a storyline we've already seen also. I mean, you bailed out for a while, but AJ and I have, I mean...
Yeah, the religious aspect isn't really new.
And the press aspect isn't really new.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually,
Sorry, go ahead.
That's one of the problems I had with this episode, but I'm going to make a list of my problems, and that'll be number one, and I'll come back to it.
I know. I was going to say, I like the idea that, like, the different people are maybe connected in different ways that were on the ship and that. And I like that. And I like, it's kind of the same thing. Like, the part that I like less are the individual callings. But, I mean, that's what this is. It has its individual things and the myth alone or whatever. But I'm more interested in the overall story and of, more interested in that. I'm also interested, too, in, as people are maybe going to find things out about Sonby, like we had last week, we had that lady's... daughter come in and that, like, if they find out or is his name Ramirez or is that the actor's name? I'm sorry, I'm probably saying the wrong
name.
If he goes further into it and investigates it, he may find out what she did, and obviously that could cause a lot of issues. I think that part's kind of interesting of the story, but I do like it. I just, the part that I like the least are the, like I said, the individual callings of certain, you know, the ones that are very, I'm trying to think of the right word, but the stuff that's very separated from the overarching storyline is what I find the least enjoyable. But, I mean, the fact that they maybe were dead, or even maybe that, I mean, it could even be another universe. We talked about that, I think, is interesting. But I like this thing with, I don't want to say, because I'm not sure how much happens yet. But that the girl, the one that they brought back to the house, the fact that her calling is connected to those guys, because he's in the photo and everything. I like how, like, I want to know too. Like I said, why is his hand glowy? That's my other question. But
AJ, I just made a list of, like, seven things that I have problems with while Jamie was talking, so you go next. Maybe I'll
there's still things I have problems
with.
I know. I'm not the only one.
There were only seven things that happened in this episode. I don't think Karen liked this episode. I enjoyed it. I liked it. It's the season's just getting rolling. Manifest, to me, seems like a show that keeps reinventing itself a little because – it is such a mystery where they've been and everything, so it's like every season they kind of throw a new angle at us. I've enjoyed the first two episodes. So one funny thing that happened is when Angelina was describing her calling to Olivia, as she's describing it, I was like, it's got to be something to do with a church and stained glass. And Artie looks at, and then she immediately says something about a stained glass window. And Artie looks at me and goes, "I hate you." I was like, I'm sorry. It was kind of obvious. I felt if an angel, you know, a no-faced angel, you know, following her.
It was. Although for a minute, AJ.
Yes.
For a minute, when we saw that angel like over her, I thought of, do you remember Michaela's calling from season one, which was the angel in Central Park, that stone statue of the angel?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like for a second, I was like,
angels are coming.
Yeah.
The angels are coming.
Weeping angels, yeah.
So
you're just making me think of weeping
angels. I did have one problem, and it's the same problem I always have. So unless I'm forgetting something, have we ever known that Grace has a stepbrother?
No.
Like, that's new,
they
right?
Invented him.
Yeah, he was
just invented.
So third season, they've never mentioned this guy. All of a sudden now, they mention him. But what I really appreciated about it is, you know, she goes there, they have this conversation, and my immediate thought, you know, he's like, you know, when I needed you, you weren't there. And she is like, oh, well, it's complicated. She's like, the twins and Ben, and he's like, oh, yeah, your family. She's like, oh, well, your family. And I immediately was like, okay, good. At least they're showing that Grace has a history of being an awful person.
Yeah.
Because that's all we've
seen
with Grace.
Her son was dying, too. I mean.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. I think it was before that, because she just had the twins were a handful. I think it was when
they
first born.
Just saying she does have a
they were babies. Well, they said she hasn't talked to him in 10 years. And Kat... Cal's only like 11, right? Olivia's 16. Olivia's 16 now, right? 17,
so they were
16,
six.
She's still in high school.
Yeah, so they were six the last time they talked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. I mean, these two episodes are so much better than a lot of what we watched over the previous 2 years. And it's been a chance for them to sort of change up the story. I mean, my biggest problem... In order, Ben. Okay, so what part of Vance saying "do not try to help me" is confusing? Like, right? Like, Vance is very clear.
Apparently, to him, all of it.
Vance is very clear. He says, "You're going to want to try to save me. Don't." I mean, this is a man who works for the NSA who faked his own death for an entire year, and I'm pretty sure he already had a plan in case. Like, if you go to Cuba,
he kind of makes
it
sound like he has a plan.
If you go to Cuba, you probably have a contingency plan. Well, the fact that his wedding ring was coated, like, we knew that, right? When he said, "Give this to my wife," immediately I'm like, oh, does that have a microfilm in it? Like, that's something. I mean, Vance has a plan, and Ben is like, Ben has the savior complex that only Ben can do anything and has to, like, I just wanted to punch him in the face and be like, could you just once listen to someone who works for the NSA?
No, I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't. You know why? Because that's who Ben is. He was in character. You might hate what what he's doing, but how often do we complain that characters do things that are out of character to make something else happen? At least this happened because Ben was being Ben. We hate when Ben is being Ben, but at least it's consistent.
Second thing,
yes.
Like, why would Ben think that he can trust Powell? Because if Vance didn't tell Powell, there's a reason, right? Like, Powell is like, I didn't know. I figured it out. Vance never told me. Oh, so, like, if Vance never told Powell and didn't, like, I just think that he can't be trusted. I think that Ben has misread the clue or that Powell was smart enough to work it and think that Ben would meet him at the grave. Like, I just think there's, like... No, I don't trust this guy, and I think Ben is an idiot for, like, I mean, how many times have we seen it that Ben thinks he figures something out, and then it goes wrong, right?
I'm conflicted. We didn't trust Powell before. We kept not trusting Powell the first two seasons. I've always kind of been on the fence about Powell. Like, I always had that feeling, too, like, there wasn't something right about him. Now, with this, I mean, he did get him out of Cuba. He did get Vance out. So, I don't know. I mean, he could have done it to further his own agenda and make it look like he's helpful.
Did he get him out? We didn't see Vance by the end of the episode.
We don't see Vance, but that whole code thing that they go through, they say, the truth has set him free. That, and then he texted that to the wife to let her know that Vance was safe.
I think Ben sent that to the wife because Pell said, I'll get him.
No, yeah, I think Ben saying we're going to get him, not that they did.
No, because what you call it. But I thought, but that was what he sent him, that the truth has set him free.
No,
that's what Ben got from
Ben to the wife.
Powell sent it to Ben first.
He did? When did we see that?
Yeah, Powell said it to Ben.
Right before.
He trust him.
Well, Powell's
a
lying
piece
of shit who... Okay, so here's the other thing. Do we think that Powell is responsible for the news about the tail, or the Cuban government did it, or it was just that little kid putting it on YouTube that did it? And before you answer... Can we talk about how ludicrous it is that this becomes national news? Like there's all kinds of crazy shit reported on YouTube every day. I cannot believe that they showed mainstream news outlets reporting this completely bonkers. Like, I mean, any normal person would just obviously, it was like a QAnon level piece of news that was being reported. Like I just thought that was ridiculous. I mean,
it was the Cuban government.
Twofold. First of all, I found it highly suspicious that right after Ben gets this text from Powell that the truth has set him free, and then 2 seconds later, it's on the news. So I find that highly – it's too coincidental.
I think I'm missing a piece from the other season that I'm lost with what you're talking about.
I think we don't have enough information on, like, I agree with what you're saying about how these news sources, you know, these major media sources are making these claims. I feel like we're missing something. Like, we haven't seen what information they were given for them to report on this. I think we'll find out more next episode.
All right.
Didn't he say something, though, that if they went after him that people would find out maybe? See, I don't know because I didn't know who that guy was. I didn't know he was ever in the show anymore. I just assumed because the chief had set him free that he meant he could trust him. I didn't know who he was, so.
He was around in, like, the first season.
He was Vance's right-hand man in season one.
Not Pal Vance, yeah. And always very squirrely and untrustworthy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Well, I thought he could trust him, but like I said, I didn't know him, so that's coming from a different point of view. I didn't know who
I don't know what level they're going to portray any cooperation with the Cuban government, which might be the most, the most least believable part of the whole show, right? Because this is just not a government that is going to cooperate, right, with the NSA, and if they had a magical tail fin, they probably wouldn't be like, here, let's put it on American television.
I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking from other episodes, so I'm just going to say anything because I don't know if I'm confused by what you guys are saying or I know further.
I've got a question for you guys that I want to throw out there.
Yeah.
So watching with Artie, and he says, you know, because of the Shadow Men, when they come back and they're having that, you know, and they're having that conversation in the truck and everything, and the one guy is like, maybe that's why we're back, maybe we're supposed to do things, you know, better this time and everything. And right before that, Artie had come up with this theory, he's, you know, that maybe that's why people are coming back, to redeem themselves for bad shit they've done before. And at first I was like, this isn't Lost. But we started talking about it a little bit, and in a way, it kind of, I don't think it's it, but in a way, it kind of works, simply because, I don't remember the character's name, but that jerk off who was that criminal, when he drowned, and then his death date. He just spontaneously drowned.
That guy, not Jace. That guy's name was like McGinnis or McGinnery or, yeah.
Whatever it was. But the guy that was, Gillis. Okay. So he came back, but he didn't do better. He kept on the same path he was on, and he died on his death day. Now Zeke Yes, exactly. Zeke did better. He didn't die on his deathbed. So I don't know that, you know, I dismissed it when Artie first said it, but it's kind of an interesting thought.
But what did Michaela and all them do that was bad, though, would be my question, that they need to, like, atone
for. Well,
let's
see. Michaela got drunk and killed her best friend in a drunk driving accident.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's true. I forgot all about that. Yeah.
Here's
why we don't know everything.
It's not about that, because the current theory of Ben and Sanvi is that to beat your death date, you just have to follow the callings.
But that doesn't mean that's true.
So the guy in season two, the robber, his name I can't remember, he only had been dead for like 3 days, and he only came back for like 3 days, right? And he never, did he have a calling? I can't remember. He never followed a calling. Like right now, the plan is you're back to follow the callings. And the callings do generally make people's lives better, but not your own.
Yes. Here's my question. When have Ben and Sanvi ever been right about anything?
Never. Not even once, ever.
Speaking of callings, I thought it was very interesting with Angelina. Like, I like how a lot of the callings, they kind of have two parts to them. Angelina's calling, you know, she finds the picture, which was nice that she, you know, the picture reminded her that her life wasn't always shit. You know, that she was happy at some point and couldn't, you know, and this is just a reminder that she can be happy again no matter how bad things are right now. But at the same time, that wasn't the main purpose of it. It was to connect her with the nicer of the meth heads for whatever reason. I don't know yet.
The nicer shadow. Yeah.
What do you think about Michaela? Actually, how long do you think Michaela's actually going to follow the captain's rules before she screws it up?
We've seen the end of it. Yeah, she's not going to, because now she's opened that. Does she recognize the major? I don't think she has any reason to recognize the major's picture, unless she's seen it on the board. So my issue with that storyline,
Has anybody ever seen the major? Other than Sanvi?
Sanvi has seen her. Has anybody ever seen the major other than Sanvi? Maybe not. Maybe nobody has seen the major except Sanvi. But Sanvi must have told. Anyway, what I don't like about that storyline is that they have brought Michaela into it too soon. I was interested in the idea that Jared might follow this case independently, not knowing it was connected, and he might really be on Sanvi's tail and like try to something, and that I like the idea that it would be happening like independent. He's been promoted, and that, you know, with Michaela getting into it immediately, now we have the opportunity for it to be set aside and diffused before it really goes anywhere. I have a feeling that we'll never see Sanvi be in any sort of real criminal or legal peril over this. Like, it does appear that the storyline is going toward her own emotional state is the more important story. I would like to wonder, can I ask you guys about her secret lab in the free clinic where she works or whatever? Like, I already complained last week that she suddenly became a pediatrician overnight. Like, where'd that come from? Did Vance pay for that?
Well, yeah. They were running the op from there. Remember, they were in contact with Ben and Vance. That's all Vance's setup.
It's kind of ridiculous.
I know you had a problem with her being a pediatrician, but she's a doctor. I'm sure she can handle somebody with a strep throat.
Well, but like, people come in all the time. Actually, a kid can die from strep throat if you don't treat it properly. And like, people come in all the time with stuff that you don't, right? Like, she's a geneticist. I'm not aware that she's ever treated a patient except. Oh, remember when she suddenly became Cal's cancer doctor? Remember that? She was Cal's cancer doctor.
Well, she was already in that field.
She was already in that field to
begin with.
And she became like a uber geneticist after that, I guess. Like,
I don't know. See, some things I think there's like some basic doctor training that all doctors get regardless of the field they go into.
Yes,
so I think
maybe
some basic things they can
school.
Do. Yeah, and they've all gone to medical school, but to actually be a
pediatrician, I don't know. I mean, I would think there'd be some things they could do, but maybe not all things they could do.
They all do, like, I guess their general, like, internship or whatever, and then they start to specialize. And, like, you know, I mean, I have a friend who's a cancer doctor. I'm not going to ask him about the mole on my leg. I'm going to go to a dermatologist. He's going to say, I don't know anything about moles. I haven't studied it. Right?
That's not true. You're going to ask your scientific friend who's going
to
be like,
and then they tell you to go
see a dermatologist. They're going
to
tell you to go see a dermatologist, and they're going to hook you up with a friend of theirs who's a dermatologist.
Okay, they're not going to look at it. They're not. Yeah. Anyway, Sonby's annoying. I was kind of interested this week. I liked the part where Sonby reminded us, we haven't heard about this in a while, that she hasn't had a calling since she put the experimental drug on herself.
Right.
And
if
you have to follow callings to beat the death date, I was like, oh, now this is kind of interesting. This is much more interesting part of Sonby than accidentally killing the Major, which, I mean, that's kind of annoying because the entire mystery of what the Major was up to and the whole government conspiracy now seems to just be dead with the Major storyline.
Well, the Major was a red herring, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. I like Angelina. I like that you know, Olive, like, needs a companion to be able to, like, have her role. I love her. Yes, Holly Taylor's amazing. And Olive has long been, we think, the best character on the show. And so it's nice for her to have a little companion that they can go and do their side mystery thing. Since Olive's the only, like, Olive points out, she goes, oh, those are peacock wings. Like, remember when she found the whole peacock thing last year?
Mm-hmm.
Olive's,
yep.
Yeah, what's up with the peacock thing other than it's an NBC symbol?
Oh, my God. It is so complicated, Jamie, to tell you about the peacock. And remember that pirate ship vision last year, AJ? And basically,
yes.
Jamie, there was all this, like, ancient mysticism about a ship that disappeared and everybody was presumed dead. And then they came back and they were alive. But that was in, like, the year, like, 1102 or something like that, right? It was like maybe it's happened before. And Olive and her little boyfriend did all this, like, study into ancient mysticism and found all this stuff, and there was this major calling that, like, was like a giant ship. But yeah, it's very, very complicated. I can't remember what the peacock is, but the peacock was somehow a part of it. You don't really need to, it's very, very detailed, and I think you don't need to go down that rabbit hole. That brings me to, I did want to comment on Grace, we hate Grace, right? AJ and I hate Grace. When we talk about trusting people that, like, should Ben be trusting, what's his name? Powell? Is his name Powell? Yeah.
Powell,
should Ben trust Powell? And should, here's the other thing, like, who thinks it's a good idea to show up on the doorstep of your brother you haven't seen in 10 years because he hates you?
A lot of choices.
You had almost any choice in the entire world, like, right? Like, you can go anywhere. If they say go someplace that can't be connected to us, first of all, why do you go to your brother? Because, first of all, like...
Different last names.
I mean, I think the government can easily find out that you have a brother somewhere.
No!
Stepbrother.
The government's not that smart.
Who actually lives within, like, a half a day's drive. He lives very close. Like, if you want to go someplace not connected with you, then go someplace that is not connected with you.
Yeah, just because you fight with your brother doesn't make it not connected with you.
Yeah, I mean, I do like that he's a jerk and maybe not to be trusted. And then I got to say, I've been saving this one for last. My biggest problem with this entire episode that I just can't let go, AJ... Well, AJ is from New York. Okay, the cabin is in upstate New York. All they ever said was the cabin was upstate, right? The cabin where the lake is upstate somewhere. The smoothie shop is in Syosset. And Michaela drove from upstate to Syosset in like 10 minutes.
Well, we know how that works. And nobody wants to watch somebody drive for 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, so that's like 2 or 3 hours, right? Yeah, like, Syosset's on Long Island. It's out by Westbury. It's not, like, really far on Long Island, but it's, like, a third of the way out Long Island, right? Like, you could drive
Jesus,
to Queens
wait a minute.
To get there.
See, and you know what? And it's funny, Carrie, because, you know, I've become so numb to things like that I don't really pay attention, because maybe it's from watching 24, you know, with 24, which was real time, yet people could drive across the country in that hour.
Yeah.
You know, so I just, yeah. I never think about that. But
you know, the funny thing is, I was actually just thinking about 24 when you said that, about
just,
the real time.
Just Syosset to Manhattan is at least an hour and a half. And depending on traffic, it could be 2 hours.
That's if there's no problem, like, passing, like, the airports. Yeah.
Let's put it this way. I live, well, where I used to live, you know, it's about the same. I live about an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on traffic at certain times and everything, from Manhattan, okay? Mm-hmm. I had to go to Long Island once. It took me three and a half hours.
Yeah. And you just probably need to go as far as Syosset.
No.
Which is not even that far, right? But
I don't remember where in Long Island I had to go, but still.
Now, Grace and Ben live in Queens. And so it made a little more sense to me that, like, the kids would get, like, that. Okay, so it totally made sense, like, that Grace, that
Olivia.
Hold on,
hold that thought, Karen. Jamie?
Yeah?
Are you typing?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry,
yeah, we can really hear it.
Not typing. I was texting something.
You have good earphones too.
I thought maybe my AirPods are connected to the other phone. Unless they connected to both of them.
Yeah.
That's how much
you can really hear that texting going tick 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 tick.
Sorry.
Yeah. So When those guys drove an RV from upstate to Syosset, I was like, oh, my God, an RV? That would take, like, all day, right? Like, and that's if there's no traffic. That would be, like, yeah, an RV probably can't go that fast. So I was just like, wait a minute. These people are driving all over New York, like, the way Jack Bauer drives around L.A. And I was like, maybe they shouldn't, like, I don't know. It was funny to me that they put a specific town to it, which they really have to do. Like, anytime people on a show put a specific town, like, it's interesting because it makes it kind of real, and then they always, like, kind of screw up. Because there are people in L.A. who are writing it.
Yeah. Well,
so
I don't think it's so much of a
screw-up.
That was
one of my biggest things.
And it always is one of your biggest things. And I always say the same thing. Nobody wants to watch anybody drive for 2 hours.
I know, right? I know.
Not for nothing.
Jack Bauer had to get there.
Well, not for nothing. When Lost first started, when they used to go from the beach to the caves, it took like a day and a half.
Yeah.
By the third season, it took 20 minutes. So.
Yeah.
They used to they couldn't find, took them days and days to find water, and then they'd go back and forth from there in like no time. You're right. I guess I was just in a mood to pick this apart tonight because really it's not the worst episode and it's better than a lot of we've watched in the past. I have been a little disappointed that the shadow figures turned out to just be three like mid-level drug dealers. They're not even like drug kingpins. They're just sort of some like loser drug dealers, right? And they have been built up for two seasons to be like in so many people's callings and whatever. They're going to be much more important than just what we've seen of them. Like they're going to affect probably a lot of people. I mean, they're very important, more than Zeke, really, who seems to have lost his powers. So it's a little disappointing to find them to be meth dealers, but I hope they're going to be. Actually, I kind of hope Jace dies and just Corey and the less and the brother can maybe like Jace has died. I'm a little sick
of that. Funny.
Guy.
We're only two episodes in, and if Zeke isn't on screen, I forget about him. So when he shows up on screen, I'm like, oh yeah, that guy's still around.
Well, he was always boring, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh my god!
Kind of like
how funny was that conversation between Michaela and what's his name there?
Drea?
No, her, Jared, thank you. Lost my thought from it there. So how funny was that when she goes, ooh, Lieutenant, how come every time I go away for a little bit, you get promoted? He goes, yeah, except this time you're the one that's married. I actually laughed out loud at that. I actually laughed out loud when he said that. I was like, oh my God, that was great. That was a really great line.
Yeah.
That was pretty good, yeah. Yeah. Hmm. So, all right, well, I guess it's just about anything else about that show. Nope.
Yeah, I think we're good.
So I want to tell you guys that I watched Kung Fu the other night.
What'd
you think? Because it was on. Well, I thought it was very CW-ish, right? But I thought it was did you watch it?
It was on CW.
Did you watch it? I thought it was pretty interesting. So almost the entire cast is Chinese. I think every single person in the episode was Chinese-American. The main character is Chinese American, Nikki. She's from like Chinatown. And it all takes place in like her neighborhood in Chinatown and a lot of Chinese American people. It was very interesting. I thought it was really good the way it had a lot of Chinese, they say a few words in Chinese here and there. Like they call their mother like and father like the Chinese, like mama and papa. And they talk about like, but it seemed really, it didn't seem like they weren't trying to, it just seemed really natural. Like it didn't, so I'm not Chinese American and I don't know if Chinese people see themselves reflected here, but I thought they did a really good job of making this like a fully Chinese American family in this like Chinese cultural environment. And it didn't feel to me like that I was watching something that was trying to make a big deal out of it. It just felt like, they felt really just like every family that I know, right?
It just felt natural.
Like, yes, there were some like talking about the cultural pressure of her mother trying to like make her go to Harvard since she was five. But is that really only Chinese people? No, like that, like, I mean, that's the premise of Gilmore Girls also. And so, you know, this has a supernatural element that the original Kung Fu didn't have. I don't know if either of you, AJ, you probably have seen a little bit of it. Jamie, I don't know if you've ever watched
any
of it.
Yeah. I didn't watch
any
of it.
I don't know for
sure.
I might have a long time ago.
So this has a supernatural, the main character, like, drops out, like, as it opens, she's gone to Harvard. She, like, what, China with her parents, she basically is like, this is my chance. She drops. She's like, I'm never going back to Harvard. And she like runs off and she ends up joining a Shaolin monastery. And she's been at this Shaolin monastery for 3 years. As the show opens, she comes back. She's been gone for 3 years. And so she learned Kung
Fu. The supernatural
there,
element isn't in the original though, right?
No. It's only in this. So it's introduced in a limited way. It involves like a supernatural object that there will be in pursuit of this season. I thought the fighting was pretty decent. Like, okay, it's not the level of fighting of, like the Matrix level of fighting, or it's not like watching Wesley Snipes who studied martial arts for, like, 20 years, right? But these characters have clearly done more training and it's, like, the fighting was pretty decent, especially for, like, a show that is, like, they're young actors who, how long could they really have studied anyway? Maybe you studied your whole life. You're only like in your 20s, right?
I thought the fighting was pretty decent.
Not for nothing. They could have found actors that have been training their whole life.
They might have. I don't know how long these actors have trained. I mean, and interestingly, they're all women. So the main character is a woman. The main Kung Fu character, character is a woman. She trained at an all-women monastery. And learned like from a female Shaolin master, and the main villain is a female like Kung Fu master also. And so she does fight some men and kick their ass in this episode, but there's like a commitment to decent. I watched The Equalizer and I like Queen Latifah. She's not known as an action star. She does fight some people sometimes, but they're not like, you know, they're edited so that, like, they're not the greatest fight scene.
Yeah.
She just, like, beats a couple guys up and takes their gun. She's not, like, doing Kung Fu. I don't know that I'm going to watch this show, which is about a bunch of, like, 23-year-old people. The supernatural element will be compelling enough for me. But I thought it was pretty good. And, you know, it's the first show on television to have an all-Asian-American cast. and to and so that's like huge, I think, right? And but yeah, to me it just felt like also very much like a family and very much like people, and like I felt like they do a good job of like explaining little bits of Chinese culture, what it's like to be in a Chinese family, to people like me who don't really know it, but it doesn't feel like too much exposition. I was surprised.
I
thought it was going to be pretty crappy, and I was like clicking channels and it was on and nothing was on, and that's the only reason why I watched it. I had no intention of, I really thought it would be horrible. And it's actually, so it was only the pilot, so we'll see. Maybe it'll get worse or it'll get better. But the pilot was pretty okay.
Good to know.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, I think that does it for us this week, folks.
Okay.
Yep. And like I said,
so
next
down
week
show
we'll have
next
Big
week.
Sky and Van Helsing.
Oh, yeah. Big Sky and Van Helsing.
To make
back.
Up for that. Yep.
Okay.
And I think,
so we'll be back
like
to
I
five
said,
shows
I think
next week.
Helsing, I enjoyed the beginning of it. It's a little different this season. I think you'll like some of it. We'll see.
Oh, can I ask you, before
right.
we hang up, have either of you guys seen, have you seen Kong vs. Godzilla, or do you intend to see it, either of you?
I have seen it. I like
I
it.
I probably will never get around with it, but around
you
with it, I'd like
it?
To see it if I have time.
Could you give
I
us a little report
it.
Next week, AJ?
Sure.
Or you want to give us a little report right now?
No, we'll save it for next week. We got
or
like 3
week.
Minutes left.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about next week.
Something to look forward to.
Night.
All right.
Okay. Yep. All right.
Good night,
all
ladies.
Right. Cool.
Good night,
all right.
Our loyal listeners.
Good night.
We'll do it again next week.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good night.